Welcome back to The County Writes, The County Reads. I'm Lynn Pickering, and my guests today are playwright Norm Foster and our very own County FM volunteer DJ and co-host of the Tuesday edition of The Grapevine, Dave McKay. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Lynn.
Dave, you've taken on another role, and that is production producer of the radio plays. What's involved with that?
Well, there was a real challenge in a sense in that take on the Norm Foster play halfway there. And it was a challenge in the fact that here we have a play that's meant only for the stage, and we had to try and find a way to translate this play that had eight scenes into four acts for radio, four series on a radio program. And that's quite a challenge to translate that. Could never have been done without Norm's help all the way. He helped us through it. I have to give full credit to Phil Knox, my buddy on the Tuesday Grapevine, because he certainly was a great, he's the inspiration behind this radio theater production. He was instrumental in getting this going.
Yeah. And Norm, I want to bring you in because I was going to ask you, halfway there is a stage play. What kind of change did you have to make to adapt it for radio? But just before we get to that, I listened to old time radio on an NPR station. Radio shows like Dragnet and Gunsmoke and Lux Radio Theater. They're on every night at 10 o'clock. And it's funny to hear some of them that they have to explain what they're doing. You know, I'll just put the gun on this table over here. The person does it and you see it. So what kinds of changes did you have to make?
Actually, Phil Knox did the adaptation, and he kept it fairly true to the play. The play is mainly dialogue anyway. It's four women sitting in a restaurant after work every day and talking about the town. So it's pretty much dialogue dependent anyway. They have coffees brought in once in a while, but they never leave. They don't leave the cafe. So it's a good play to adapt to radio because it is just conversation. Yeah.
Yes. And I guess the sound effects as well help.
Yeah. Sound effects. Sure. They do all that at the radio station. It has nothing to do with that. They doors opening and stuff and traffic outside. Yeah. They do all that. Yeah.
Well, we're going to hear a clip in a moment, but Dave, I want to ask you about casting the play and producing it in this time of pandemic and social distancing and everything else that we're going through.
We decided on a brand new adventure by putting the ads out in the paper telling people what we were going to do. We were going to do radio theater, and if people were interested in acting in it, would they apply? And we had, for this production alone, we had about 54, 55 people apply to take part. And of course, as Norm has said, it's a small play. There's only six parts, of which one is the narrator, which Norm has. And so it was a challenge to get down to the cast and that number. And then, of course, with COVID and the pandemic, we had to look at where we were going to meet and how we could social distance. And we did our rehearsals and our productions out in Ameliasburg at the town hall. It was large enough that we could space ourselves out. We had everybody had masks and visors. And from that point of view, it was challenging to pull off. But the enthusiasm was really quite amazing. These people came out in the dead of winter and rehearsed and really pulled it off. And I think listeners are going to be really impressed by it.
Just getting back to the casting, if you had so many people, how did you audition them? Was that by Zoom, or how did you do that?
Yeah, that we did the auditions by Zoom, and that worked out all right. It once again is a challenge. Lynn Fennell, who many of our listeners will know as a theater person in the county here, as a director and an actor, he auditioned the people. It was part of the audition process, and he did a good job getting everybody together and pulling this off.
All right, well, let's just give a little taste of the play. This is a clip from halfway there. Rita, Vi, and Mary Ellen are seated at their usual spot in Junior's restaurant when the door opens and a newcomer walks in.
Ooh, I suppose he can wait 15 more minutes.
Wow, what do we have here?
What do we have indeed?
ladies.
Well, the jury's still out on that, but thank you anyway.
Bye, stop that. Don't listen to her. She's nothing but trouble.
And so am I, if you like that sort of thing. And I hope you do.
Now that's enough, you two. They're a caution. I'm sorry.
Quite all right.
Just sit anywhere. Janine will be out shortly.
Janine?
Your waitress. She's using the facilities at present.
Oh, thank you.
Well, he's a handsome rascal, isn't he?
You can say that again.
Not from around here, I'm guessing.
Oh, he's not from around here at all, Mary Ellen. He's from away as sure as a monkey's got a bear arse.
He is a cute one.
He is. And looks to be unspoiled, like a piece of fresh fruit on a sturdy vine, just waiting to get plucked.
Ladies, I can hear you.
Oh, we know, dear. We don't like to talk behind someone's back.
No, we'll say it straight to your face.
Well, that's good to know.
So, were we right? Are you from away?
From away? Yes. Yes, I am. I just got into town, and I haven't eaten since breakfast. That's why I stopped in here.
Oh, you poor thing. You gotta eat. You gotta keep up your strength. You need it for your endurance. Although I bet your endurance is just fine, is it?
What's your name?
Sean Merritt.
Well, welcome to Stewiac. I'm Violet, this is Rita, and this is Mary Ellen.
Pleased to meet you.
So where are you from, Sean?
Toronto. What's wrong?
We don't like Toronto.
We don't like Toronto one bit.
That seems like an odd reaction. Is there any reason that you don't like Toronto?
Oh, there's a very good reason.
Mary Ellen's niece, Martine, fell in love with a fella from Toronto.
Fell head over heels.
Like a ton of bricks.
Next thing you know, she gives up a good job at the Scoop and Save and moves to Toronto to be with him. Oh, he promised her the world, he did. And I don't mean little trinkets and baubles here and there. No, I mean he literally promised her the world.
Well, I don't think you could literally promise her the world. I mean, literally would mean...
Who's telling the story here, Sean?
Sorry, go ahead.
That's a clip from the radio version of Norm Foster's play, Halfway There, and that's from episode 1, There's a New Guy in Town. In the cast, you heard Victoria Farrell as Rita, Monica Allier as Vi, Karen Condison as Mary Ellen, and Thomas Crosley as Dr. Sean Merritt. Norm, a scene like that is probably familiar to anyone who lives in a small town. How do you decide the characters and the setting for the very first scene so that you're engaging the audience right away?
Yeah, that's a good question. You do try and engage the audience right away. So I have these three, well, the three women, the fourth woman is back in the kitchen to start the play. And I just make sure that I want their conversation to sparkle, and I want each voice to be different. By that, I don't mean like a different voice. I mean like each woman to be different and have her own thing that she's after, and have her own sense of humor. And so that when Rita says something, you know, oh, that's Rita. It's got to be Rita, the way she talks. Mary Ellen is a little more shy, more of a homebody woman, and she loves getting out with the other women. So this is a great day for her to be out, but she's shyer. And then Vi is more of she's married to a cop, and she's a strong woman, very strong woman. And so you want to make sure these are three distinct voices in this play when it starts, and they're saying something funny. They're talking about somebody who's getting a divorce, or they don't sleep together anymore, but they're thinking of getting a divorce, but they're not going to get a divorce because they don't want to upset the children who are like 40 years old. So you always try and make something that's going to draw the audience in right away, and then of course the new guy shows up and that puts a whole different spin on it. Yeah.
Yes, and I think it's also like you're eavesdropping on somebody's conversation, so you know you're sort of cock your ear.
You know,
to listen.
That's the key. That's the key. And people have said when they see my plays, it's like I felt almost embarrassed because I was listening to these people's conversations. And it was so that's the key too. You want to try and make it seem natural, like you're eavesdropping on these people. Yeah.
Yeah. In that clip and in the next clip we hear, there's also going to be a reference to Toronto.
Yeah. That's living in the Maritimes for almost 20 years now, and that's where I got that idea, because in the Maritimes we always think that the Toronto looks down on us. We don't like people from Toronto, so that's it. I put that bit in there for all the Maritimers. Yeah.
All right, then let's go to the next clip from Halfway There. In this one, Dr. Sean Merritt meets Janine.
So, the girls say you're a doctor.
Yes, I'm here for a month filling in for Dr. Caldwell. I'll be here until the long weekend.
What happened to Dr. Caldwell?
He's going to South America to do missionary work.
Pooches? He didn't tell me that. Pooch is my doctor. Of course, I haven't been to see him in a year. Maybe that's why he didn't tell me.
A year? You must be due for a physical then. You should make an appointment.
For a physical?
Yes.
My, my. You don't waste any time, do you?
Pardon me?
In town, 10 minutes, and you want to see me naked already.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
I'm kidding. So, where are you from?
Toronto.
Oh, we don't like Toronto.
Yes, I heard.
And where are you staying while you're here?
I'll find a hotel, I guess.
There aren't any.
Any what? Hotels?
No.
There are no hotels here?
No. Where did you think you are, Tatamagoosh? We've got a bed and breakfast, though. Luann's just up the road.
Well, maybe I'll try there, then.
So, you drove all the way from Toronto without knowing where you were going to be staying when you got here?
Well, coming here was kind of a last-minute decision.
Ah, interesting.
So, I noticed that sign out on the highway that read, Halfway to the North Pole. What does that mean?
Stewiacke is exactly halfway between the equator and the North Pole.
Really?
It's our claim to fame.
That's funny.
Why is that funny?
No, I mean, I don't mean that it's funny about it being your claim to fame. I just mean, I recently split up with my fiancée. So, a month ago, I had it made. A woman I loved, a future together, a good medical practice. And now, here I am, sitting in a diner halfway to the North Pole. I guess that's an indication of how far I've fallen in a month.
That was Thomas Crosley as Sean Merritt and Nikki Ramjas as Janine in Halfway There. The radio version, which will premiere on Sunday, March 28th at 8 p.m. on County FM. There are 4 half-hour episodes as the story unfolds. Dave, this is a tremendous project that you, Phil, and all these other people have taken on. I know there are more radio plays in the works. What's coming up after Halfway There?
Well, we've got one called Radio Suspense Theater that will be the next one, and it's a 4-part play. It's going to have a larger cast. I also know that coming probably in about another month and a half, we're going to start working on a play with myself and Pat Larkin actually are going to be starring in it. I say the word starring with some modesty, and it's going to be directed by Norm Foster. And so we're really thrilled that this is going to be part of the radio production going forward. I was thrilled that Norm would take on directing the play, and I thank him for that. You know, I didn't think I was going to be nervous, Lynn, about doing this interview with you today, but then I found out I was going to be with Chekhov, Shakespeare, and Norm Foster.
I think I feel.
Well, Dave, now you've got me curious because I know you as the former principal, high school principal, teacher, now volunteering at the station on air. So when did you become an actor?
I've never done it before, Lynn. Never. And it's a new challenge, and I'm looking forward to it because, as Norm has commented on, what he does is he writes plays for the individual to understand and to eavesdrop on a little bit. And the part I'm playing is a man about my age, and it, he takes place in the play with his son. And I could identify with so many things in it that I was thrilled to have an opportunity to sit down and to do this. And I don't know, Norm, if you were inspired because you and I are contemporaries, but certainly I can see a lot of you in that particular play as well.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dave. You know, the older I get, the older my characters get. So I can play my parts, you know, until forever. So yeah. So no, I think it is. It's. I find that older characters to me seem to have more meat on their bones and more to say. And so I'm really enjoying the characters I'm writing right now, especially the father character in the play that you're going to be in. It's called The Writer. And Dave's character is a Pulitzer Prize winning writer who is starting to show signs of Alzheimer's, early signs. And he's got his son has come to kind of look after him. So it's a pretty involved, poignant story, and I can't wait to get started on these guys.
And I'd have to agree with you, Norm, that as I get older, I do get more meat on my bones.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing, but I'm glad you just see me from the shoulders up on Zoom. All right, as a director, Norm, what advice do you have for Dave in his first acting role?
Well, I just try, you know, we've had one meeting, Zoom meeting, about the with Dave and the guy playing the son, and I just say, just try and make this as natural as you can. Don't try acting too much. Try and make it as natural as you can, and we're going to have readings and stuff where I'll get to hear them and how they deliver the lines, and I'll be able to help them more in that area. But I just, like, I write the way people talk, and so I think if you just tell the story as truth, tell the story as truth, it shouldn't be a problem. You know, just don't try and act it. Just try and say it as you would. Yeah.
Well, the other thing, Dave, that I guess in your first debut acting is that you're not on stage. You don't have to memorize the lines. You've got them in front of you. So that makes it a lot easier.
And I think, Lynn, you know, when we looked at the number of people that applied to take part in this radio theater production, that was one of the reasons we had so many people apply, is because people really wanted the opportunity to act and be part of a production, but maybe they didn't want to go through the strenuous work of memorizing, because that is really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the aspects that attracted many people to this project.
Yes, well, I've been to many stage plays, and I'm always astounded at the memorization skills of actors, not only memorizing all those lines, but acting them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you both. We look forward to hearing Halfway There on Sunday, March 28th at 8 p.m. on County FM. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn, and thanks, Norm, for all your work on this. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Dave. My pleasure. My pleasure, really.
That was Norm Foster and Dave McCabe. Coming up next, Sherry Pringle with All the Ship's Men, HMCS Athabascan's Untold Stories. You're listening to 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.